Steelers, Texans in a game. Could it be Mike Tomlin's final game as Steelers head coach? To talk about this and so much more, we head out to the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us now. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing okay. We're in the middle of a head coaching search, so that's always fun. Do you even remember the last one? Because it's been like 20 years for you guys.
No, I think I was in like ninth grade biology, probably, when they hired Mike Tomlin last time around. So, yeah, it's been a minute.
Do you think this is his last go-around? Do you buy into the speculation that whether you win tonight, lose tonight, whether you win this game and then lose in the next round, that inevitably this will be the last time you guys see Tomlin on the sidelines?
No. I think that was slightly more likely had they lost last week to Baltimore, and the negativity that would have come along with that would have been pretty deafening. But he was on the Rich Eisen show this week and got asked something similar point blank. And he said he's been institutionalized. So that is quite the quote from a guy when it comes to weighing the option of continuing to be a head coach for year number 20 or going somewhere else.
Yeah, it's interesting because now it kind of feels like it's his choice, and it has been the entire time. But a few weeks back, when Steelers fans are chanting Fire Tomlin and booing during the Renegade song, all these different type of things, there's a real possibility it felt like everyone had turned on him. What is that at right now? Did a lot of the fans come crawling back, and what does it look like?
I think some did. I don't know if I would say a lot. But always, to me, guys, the dynamic here was there's a pretty sizable gap between fan opinion of Mike Tomlin and front office opinion of Mike Tomlin. I think it was basically always going to be his choice, what he would want to do. And I don't think ownership would ever fire him outright like we just saw with Baltimore and John Harbaugh. I think if anything, there could be tough conversations had of, hey, is this really still working? Is it time for both of us to get a change of scenery? Why don't you just kind of resign here? Like that to me is basically the worst case scenario that was ever on the table for Tomlin. And I think rightly or wrongly, winning that game last week against their biggest rival probably tamped down a lot of that. But fan sentiment, I think there's a lot that are still ready for a change here.
So when it comes to this game tonight against the Texans, I know the Steelers have a lot of love, right? What I mean is they won their division, so it's not like they're the Panthers at 8-9 here. But yet, there's a lot of favoritism nationally for the Texans to win this game. So from the Steelers fan perspective, Steeler media perspective, the big knock has been Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in X amount of years. So how much would this one playoff win buy Tomlin in terms of patience and how people view him in Pittsburgh?
A lot, I think. And this would be 9 years if they don't get it done tonight. That's a really long time. I came into this season thinking, all right, if they win a playoff game with this Aaron Rodgers experiment, I will consider it a successful year. And I won't backtrack on that. I still believe that. If they don't, I won't really give them extra credit for salvaging the Browns debacle by beating the Ravens last week. To me, it would still be a sign of a team stuck in neutral and not really climbing the ladder in the AFC, just basically staying stagnant. Where they've been since 2017, essentially. So, I think it's almost an all or nothing proposition tonight in that. And, you know, you say they're not the Panthers. They kind of are of the AFC. You know, they snuck in at 10-7, and, you know, there's the Texans are the odds makers' favorites for this one. So I don't think it's quite as bleak of an outlook as going down to Baltimore this time last year, or going to Buffalo 2 years ago when they got run out on a rail. But I'm still not real optimistic about this Jekyll and Hyde team.
How much of this game dictates whether or not this is the last game that Aaron Rodgers ever plays?
Oh, that's a great question, and I can't begin to get into the psyche of Rodgers. I mean, I'll frame it this way. Coming into the year, after listening to some of his Pat McAfee stuff and, you know, reading between the lines, I thought there was almost no chance that he would come back for another season. But now, after the way he's played at times and just from being around him in the locker room, interviews, seeing him interact with teammates during games, away from the game. I think there's a real chance that he's going to want to play again next year, maybe even surprising himself in the mindset that he took into 2025 after just a moribund Jets tenure. So whether that would be here or somewhere else, I don't know. I think he's famously complicated and open to different avenues, but I would put it this way. I'm a lot more believing that that could happen than I was going into week one.
Do Steelers fans want Aaron Rodgers back next year?
I think that's another one that's probably baked into how tonight goes, right? If he gets sacked eight times and he's looking feeble out there and can't move and just gets destroyed by this Texans defense, people are fickle. But you ask me right now at, you know, 550 before anything kicks off, yeah, I think by and large people have liked what they've seen from Rodgers and probably feel like it's the best quarterback play they've gotten since pre-elbow injury Roethlisberger. So, yeah, I think the fans are pretty into the Rodgers effect with the Steelers.
How did the Steelers win tonight? Because this Texans defense is so good. I don't know how Pittsburgh scores points.
I think dinking and dunking isn't really going to work. But at the same time, you know, you want to get rid of it quick against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edge. So that makes for a tough recipe, into which I would say I think you're going to need some downfield playmaking by DK Metcalf. I think you're going to need Aaron to drop some dimes, vintage Rodgers, to kind of stress the outside of that defense. And yet their corners are really good too. So I just think you're going to have to try to throw it up there at times and hope your guy's better than their guy. If it doesn't go your way, live with it. But I think if you get too scared, too conservative, kind of like we saw in Cleveland, there's going to be a lot of three and outs, punts, and not really moving the ball.
Which job would you rather see go up in flames, the Browns head coaching job or the Ravens head coaching job?
Well, I guess the Ravens falling off would be better for the Steelers in the long term because they've been ahead of them as a franchise, in my opinion, even though it's kind of like the bizarro Browns-Steelers matchup where the Steelers are far ahead in the grand scheme of things, but the individual matchups are always back and forth. And yet the Steelers own the Ravens head to head, weirdly enough, in this division. So from the Steelers' perspective, I would certainly say the Ravens, but I don't think that's going to happen because I think that's probably the best open job on the market.
All right. So do you think Stefanski ends up with the Ravens?
Wouldn't shock me. I don't think that would be my bet, but I think he's a really good coach. I think the Browns may have botched that one, but I don't even know that the Ravens should have gotten rid of John Harbaugh either. I'm kind of a stability guy. Maybe it's, I'm institutionalized, like Mike Tomlin is covering the Steelers.
All right, who do you think wins tonight?
I've got Houston. I think they're legit. I don't think they've won nine in a row on smoke and mirrors or by beating up on solely bad teams. They won in Kansas City when it was really frigid out in early December, I believe. So I don't know that the weather for a dome team is going to be that much of a factor. I'll believe it when I see it for this Steelers franchise to win a playoff game again. Give me the Texans 20, Steelers 17.
That's right on the line there. I think Houston's a three-point favorite.
That's
All right.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to move one way or another for the hook, 3.5 or 2.5. We've kind of stuck at 3.
Also, by the way, 37 points, the over-under's at 38.5. Are you Vegas? Are you holding out on us there, Brian?
I trust Vegas. I think there's a reason why the casinos are huge there and the hotels are very large. So I tend to go with Vegas. But, hey, this would be anti-Steelers because during this playoff win streak, they've either given up a ton of points or they've gotten blown out. So me even predicting it to be close is perhaps going against recent history.
I just always think it's very telling when the people that cover the team don't have their team winning in the postseason, like in any game, but in particular in the first round. I just think that's always a very telling sign. We've known you long enough to know that you shoot it however you see it. You're not a homer in any sort of way, but like it kind of speaks to me how you viewed the Steelers, fair or unfair, throughout the majority of the season.
Well, I think I've been picking a lot of their games wrong lately. Here's actually a fun fact. I looked it up. I did like my game-by-game preseason predictions, in early September. If I would have just stuck with every one of those, September Brian Batko, I would have gone 13-4. But picking week to week, stuff like, oh, they certainly won't lose to the Browns. Oh, they're not going to beat the Ravens again. I think I went 9-8 in the season. So take my pick with a grain of salt.
It's just been weird. It's been a weird year. And there's weird things with the Steelers always, too. Like, even like Mike Tomlin being 23-0 on Monday Night Football games. Like, there's weird parts of the Steelers that just kind of exists.
For sure. And the Texans have never won a road playoff game. So there's like a lot of Murphy's Law type of historical streaks on the line here. But yeah, you're right. I shoot them straight. So whether you think that's me being, you know, anti-Steelers or whatever, I guess I would just say I don't usually tell Mike Tomlin to keep his head up after a tough loss. So
yet. This could be the one. This could be the one. We could really take this one hard.
Maybe tonight I should do it, and I should get with the trend.
I would say go farther. Give him a hug. See how they go. Just approach him with your arms open and puppy dog eyes. He'll wilt.
I hear he loves that.
He's all bark and no bite.
I hear he loves that.
And then tell him he should take the USC job.
Coach, I don't have a question. Can I just approach the podium for an embrace?
Oh, follow up to that Jacksonville reporter from yesterday. And if he loses, try to tell him what a good job and a good season he's had and to keep his head up. He's going to love that. Yes, he's going to love that. Yeah.
All right, Brian. Be good, buddy. Appreciate
you, Brian.
You too. See you guys.
Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Could you imagine someone doing that to Tomlin? What happened with that Jacksonville lady?
I think you just went a little dust in there.
What do you mean?
That's exactly what Brian led with. He made it. That's where this all kind of went from.
What do you mean? I mean, we were on the same page. How many minutes ago did he make that reference?
That's when I then said you should approach him with a hug. He had just made that reference, and then I was trying to help him build a bit.
No, but the lady in Jacksonville didn't hug him. Are you trying to bust toss me with a Dustin reference there? I heard everything you said. She didn't hug him.
Yeah, no. Brian said the thing about the
listen. I might be guilty of just repeating what Brian had said, but there was no lack of paying attention there.
Okay, I believe you.
All right, fine, whatever.
It's just like what Dustin would do when he didn't pay attention, then getting mad when I pointed it out.
I mean, I was looking right at you the whole time,
but you weren't looking at Brian.
I was listening.
Should we get back to my 70-year-old future brother-in-law?
I thought we were riffing here. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, let's all laugh about that, how that wouldn't go.
I think Brian took it a little weird, too. That's why the end
of
that call was a little
weird. I also kind of felt bad because he works at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and like he's probably losing his job in like 4 months. So like in the back of my brain, I'm like, should I say goforsteelers.com? Like this is how you get that job?
Maybe you could have done the Jacksonville reporter thing to him.
I wish you'd do the Jacksonville reporter thing to me right now. You know what? Looks like I could use a big hug.
You know
at
what?
The current moment.
JP, I got to say, you took an L at the end of this segment. But you are a young man of courage, vitality,
yes,
and talent, and I believe in you.
That's all I needed.
Yeah, and we finished number one at the end of last year.
Not you pulled a Dustin. That's what I needed. that's what I needed.
But you also pulled a Dustin. Is Mike Tomlin's job? I reacted. Like he threw.
I'm getting pretty good at throwing those.
He just threw his papers at me, and I reacted like he threw a couch at me.
I know. For some reason, you think papers are like this big, mighty thing. Oh, no, is a paper cut going
to
get you?
YouTube cooked me. Seriously, you guys need to see that.
Someone needs a freeze frame.
I acted like such a... You know exactly what I acted like. Yep. It starts with B and ends with...
Now you
get
hug.
It.